You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
I'm Rick Addison, pastor of the Grace Place Church. 18 years ago this weekend was the grand opening of our Celebration Center. After being closed for the COVID-19 crisis, this weekend is our grand reopening. Join us for worship Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday 9 or 11 a.m. online at thegraceplace.com/watch. We're located at 1550 Salerno Road, Stuart, Florida. Call us at 772-287-6388. At The Grace Place, we celebrate God's grace every day.
We love you, Jesus. Oh, how we want to be.
Hello. And welcome once again to the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church, located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie. What a joy and honor it is to have you join us today as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. Our church is praying for you as you listen today. Our great hope and prayer is that through these broadcasts, you would come to a better understanding of the Scriptures, and that you would more deeply trust the God who gave them to us. Thank you for investing your time today. If you have questions or a need for prayer, please text us at 772-205-6552. Today, we will listen to the third message in a series titled, The One the Lord Loves. There are times when we become used to the sounds around us. We almost don't pay attention. But then we're startled by something different, and it causes us to stop and attend. These messages are being delivered during an unprecedented time when a virus has completely halted much of our lives. The crisis has caused us to pay attention to much that we would normally ignore as the expected. God's great care for His people is such a thing. During this time, we have the opportunity to pay attention to how much God cares for us and how much we truly need Him. Please consider these things as we listen to this message from Pastor Sam Chess.
This is Sermon 3, The One the Lord Loves Rests Between His Shoulders. And we all know these are unusual and difficult times. We moved quickly this week from our federal government's general guidance to protect ourselves from the coronavirus by meeting only in groups of 10 or less, to a projected safer at home order that we thought would be issued by our county yesterday, to very quickly a stay at home order by Governor DeSantis that started on Thursday night. The small group that we had in this building that was preparing and executing the service for you is cut by 2/3. Very, very, very tiny handful of people in this room now. Dr. Chad and Jockey put together this new, more intimate set so that we can do this in a very small way. But none of us know exactly what next week will bring. None of us do. Lots of us are deeply unsettled. Many of us get up every morning and we wake up and we're fresh and we're ready for the day, and then it hits us. And we have this deep sense of unsettledness. Perhaps a ball forms in the pit of your stomach. If there ever was a time that we need to hear God's word promising us what He's prepared to do in times of trouble, it's right now. We're praying against fear. We're praying against emotions out of control, aren't we? Author and journalist Catherine Stewart said on national TV this week that the real people at fault for the coronavirus, the real people who have caused this infection of the whole world, are the religious right. She's talking about you. She's talking about me. And you say, sitting at your home right now, you're saying, I'm not at fault. I'm huddled in my house. I'm pouring my heart out to God for His mercy and His deliverance. And that's the right thing to do. That's exactly what you should be doing. I was on this conference call on Friday with Senator Scott and with a lot of pastors from around the state. It was encouraging to me to hear Senator Scott himself offer a sincere prayer for our state and for our country. It was encouraging to me to hear former Florida Attorney General Pambandi, literally tugging on heaven in prayer for God to give us his deliverance and his mercy. According to Catherine Stewart, those God followers who are literally working nonstop around the clock, they are responsible for what we are experiencing right now. This picture of Vice President Pence praying with members of the task force for the power of God to help them stop this virus is being widely criticized by secularists who declare that trusting in God rather than trusting in science is the work of fools. We know full well that this team is very scientific, but we who have watched this pandemic race out of control, the atheist types right now, the secularists right now, better hope that there is someone out there who is stronger than a tiny invisible organism. They better hope. And we know there is. And that's where our faith lies. The Bible is built around crisis times. Did you ever notice that? There are 200-year spans, there are 300-year spans in the Bible where there's very little recorded. We don't see much about what's going on at all. And then a crisis comes, and Scripture hones in like with a zoom lens. And often we get a very high-definition picture of what's going on during times of crisis. God obviously did that over the centuries to progressively reveal how much he loves his children and just how much he's willing to do for his children in times of crisis. We don't really get to see how gracious, how merciful God is when the biblical characters are getting up every morning, brushing their teeth, and going about a regular day. But man, you let the Israelites find themselves locked in Egyptian slavery, and you watch God miraculously release them from 400 years of slavery, and you see the Egyptians chase them down, and you watch God roll back the Red Sea, and then you see God roll the Red Sea back on top of the most powerful army in the world. Then you realize just how loving and benevolent and gracious and merciful God is toward his believing children when they find themselves in impossible situations. And let me just tell you this, God has not forsaken us now, not even for a moment, and he's not going to. Whatever Satan and sin and the curse means for evil, God is most certainly going to turn around for our greatest eternal good. You watch. You watch. God is not up in heaven saying, those in my image children that I created have rejected me and they've rebelled against me. They deserve everything that's happening to them right now. That's not the God of Scripture. That's not how God feels about humanity. That's not how God feels at all. If it were, he would not have come here and paid our sin penalty. He would not have died in our place. He would not be offering you the forgiveness that we just talked about. He would not be offering you the soul cleansing. He would not be offering you an eternity communing with him in his presence. There would be no Good Friday, and there would be absolutely no reason for a resurrection Sunday morning if he didn't love us that much. And that's why I am drawn to this text that we've been talking about the last 2 weeks. It lets us see the heartbeat of God. It lets us see inside and find out just how God feels about us. Our title comes directly from the blessing that God, through Moses, when Moses was dying, pronounced on the tribe of Benjamin. And I've suggested that God's blessing to Benjamin can be applied to every one of you, right to you and right to you and right to you. And I'm pointing to you wherever that you are this morning. And as I said, it echoes God's heartbeat towards you. It's God's heartbeat toward his children. You can actually and accurately hear God saying these words to you. These are his words of affirmation to you during this unprecedented, and I know people say that in the news all the time, everything's unprecedented. This one really is. During this unprecedented times, these are God's words to you. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Moses said, let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long. And the one the Lord loves rests, get it, rests between his shoulders. You get the image. Rests between his shoulders. Look at the three amazing statements. Let the beloved of the Lord rest. Savor the words, the beloved of the Lord, the beloved of the Lord, rest secure in him. Rest. Phrase two, he shields you all day long. We need that right now. Number three, the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders. The resting, the shoulders, again, what the Lord loves. And let's just pause. I want to personalize a number of these things today. I want you to personalize them wherever you are today. So I've kind of changed it around a little here, but I want you to say it with me. Don't be embarrassed if you're saying it in front of your wife at home. This is your chance to belt this out to God. And we changed it just a hair here, so let's go with it. Let's say the first statement, I am beloved of the Lord. Say it again. I am beloved of the Lord. Me. You. I can rest secure in him. Or a much more difficult statement, but it's the one that we all need to be making right now. I am resting secure in him. One more time. I am resting secure in him. God is greater than a virus. Times a billion trillion. Satan, as is so often his MO, has overplayed his hand. As he always historically does. Think about him working so hard to kill Jesus, only to find out after he killed him that he actually helped in securing God's plan for humanity's salvation. That's what Satan does. That's what he so often does. Jesus' blood is more powerful than a disease. Jesus' shed blood has the power to forgive our vilest sins, and Jesus' shed blood has the power to heal our most awful diseases. That's the power in this Jesus that we are celebrating this Passion Week. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yes? Can you say an amen wherever you are today? Phrase two, God shields me all day long. We spent time on that last Sunday. That's really important. David himself, Psalm 5, let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Don't forget, God didn't tell Benjamin's great-granddaddy Abram, or David, or Benjamin himself, that he would provide a shield for them. He told them, I am your shield. I'm your shield. I'm your shield. We've been living with that truth this last week, and that brings up phrase three. This is, again, personalized. This is for you to take part in. I am the one the Lord loves. Say it. Say it. I am the one the Lord loves, and I am resting between his shoulders. Say it again. I am the one the Lord loves, and I am resting between his shoulder. There's no passage in all of Scripture that better defines that than Psalm 91. It's a perfect passage for us to absorb into our souls today. We need to get this inside of us. It was what the Jewish people called the Psalm of Plagues. It was built for this very time. And in fact, it's almost as if every word was written to be read by people in 2020, because it so fits what we're going through today. Here it is. Here it is. I'm going to read it. You read it at home with me. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. He alone is my place of safety. He is my God. I trust him. For he will rescue you from the trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. We need to spend time making sure we understand exactly what the psalmist is promising. You already caught on, probably, that that's conditional. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Those who don't, not so much. And wouldn't you hate to be? I would hate to be going through this without the sense that I'm living in the shelter of the Most High. Wouldn't that be terrible? Let me just do a little sidebar here. I got some hate mail this week on my Sam Chess author Facebook account. Actually, Jesus got some hate mail this week. And I want to read it to you. I've adopted a phrase in writing about prophecy, and I've adopted a phrase often in my preaching here. Jesus wins, Satan loses. Which is true, yes? Here's what Tony Steves wrote. Religion is far and away the worst thing that ever happened to humanity. Religion is stupid. Every word of every one of them, spreading religion is like spreading stupid, like the disease that it is. Religion drags humanity backward. Think about that. Think about that. If you know the barbarianism that filled this world before Jesus and the Christian church came along, and how much has changed since Jesus. To look at that statement, it's just stunning. He goes on, Jesus is a myth plagiarized from the neighbor's myths, Horus, Mithra, and Dionysus. Jesus never existed and never taught blankety blank blank. You poor brainwashed dupe. And I've never actually considered myself a brainwashed dupe, but nonetheless. James Miller writes, Jesus lost. Easter is canceled. God is weak and feeble. Hail Satan, the real Lord and Savior. These people are facing this worldwide pandemic without living in the shelter of the Most High and without cuddling in under. And we'll talk about this, the shadow of the Almighty. Let me do one more sidebar by way of announcement. Easter is not canceled. Pastor Mitchell pointed out to me this week, we don't have to worry if the building is empty on Resurrection Sunday. So was the tomb. And I've got to tell you that on that conference call that I was on Friday, there was this newly forming, clearly positive strain that was running through the speakers and the prayers that were on that call. They said that they were watching spiritual creativity exploding as the spreading of the gospel began to work its way out in circumstances that would almost never have happened if we hadn't been going through what we are going through now. They said God is taking what appears to be a containment and using it to spread the gospel further than it ever has been spread before. And some of them had a theory, and I like this, that once this isolation is over, people will be so sick of being socially alone that they will pour back into churches seeking human companionship. And where better to find that than in a church where they can also develop a relationship with Almighty God and the family of God. And when this is over, by the grace of God, things will look very, very different than they do now. So say these amazing truths. This is not just happen chance. This is not just fluff. This is the depth. This is the core. Say these amazing truths with me. I personalized them for you and for me because I so need them today. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. He alone is my place of safety. He is my God and I trust him. For he will rescue me from every trap. He will protect me from deadly disease. He will cover me with his feathers. He will shelter me with his wings. His faithful promises are my armor and protection. Read on. I will not be afraid of the terrors of the night. I will not be afraid of the arrow that flies in the day. I will not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. I will make the Lord, verse 9, I will make the Lord my refuge. I will make the Most High my shelter. No evil will conquer me. No plague will come near my home, for he will order his angels to protect me wherever I go. How far can we apply that? How far can we take that in this present situation, this written 3,500 years ago? How can we apply that to our lives today? Stay tuned. stay with me here. There's no author listed in this psalm. The 90th psalm is clearly written by Moses. It says so. And the ancient Jewish Talmud said that this one is written by Moses too. And the more I look at it, the more I'm absolutely sure that's true. It's not hard to see Moses trying to assure this huge group of people that he had led across the Red Sea. They watched that great miracle we talked about a while ago. He led them out into the wilderness. And then he's assuring them that God has not only not deserted them, but that God Almighty, El Shaddai, and Pastor Kevin on Wednesday night did a wonderful job showing us the four names of God that Moses uses and kind of unfolding this. If you haven't watched that, go back after I'm done. Go back and watch what Pastor Kevin had to say because it kind of fills in a lot of gaps. But that Almighty God is offering them, watch, a place of refuge, a place of safety, a place to find protection from all the terrors of the evil one. It is unquestionable that this was first written to a group of people who are wading through seriously difficult times. This was tough. Whatever they're going through, you don't tell people not to be racked by fear, not to be consumed by dread, not to make the Most High their refuge so that they won't be conquered by evil. You don't tell that to people who are sitting on a vacation island sipping lemonade. God doesn't have to dispatch his angels to guard lemonade sippers, usually.
We want to take a brief pause from today's broadcast to welcome those who are just joining us. We're listening to message number 3 in a series titled, The One the Lord Loves. When Moses delivered the words of Psalm 91 to God's people, they were living in incredible times. They saw God guide and provide for them in miraculous ways. They truly rested between his shoulders. But this psalm applies to us as well. During this time, we have the opportunity to focus on God's great care for us as we draw nearer to him than we did before. If you have questions about this or a need to contact us, text us at 772-205-6552. You can also go to our website at graceemmanuel.com. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message from Pastor Sam Chess.
Several things struck me this week. New, first time. This is the first time, maybe since World War II. I wasn't alive during World War II, so I'm not quite sure how far-reaching that war was across the world. But this is the first time when the entire world has been embroiled in a single chaos that I know of, at least in my lifetime. When there's a tsunami, may wipe out 100,000 people, we all say, boy, that's too bad. And then we go on about our day. When there's a hurricane in our neck of the woods or some other place in the world and it wipes out whole chunks of the world, and people die, the rest of the world says, man, that's too bad. And then we go about the rest of our day. But for the first time, at least in my lifetime, the entire world is going through the same life-threatening battle. This has to be jarring. Another thought I had, this has to be jarring for some modern Christians who have been assured that God always only allows good and pleasant things into the lives of his children. This is clearly not good and pleasant, and God is clearly allowing it to happen. I was invited to a meeting 4 years ago in New York City, and I found myself in Times Square, or at a motel in Times Square, in the common area, face-to-face with and discussing rather intensely with Carter Conlon, the pastor of Times Square Church. And he said that one of the things that happened after the tragedy of 9/11, he said people came flocking into churches after 9/11 in New York City and elsewhere. But imagine having been in New York City. He said people came flocking into churches trying to make spiritual sense out of what they had just experienced. And Conlon said the tragedy was that so many churches had nothing to tell them. They had built their entire theology around the teaching that God allows nothing but blessing, good things, pleasant things into the lives of those who follow him. And he said he watched people driven away from God driven farther away from God because they could only conclude that somehow or another God had failed them. He didn't come through. This pandemic is a completely unique situation that refuses to allow blinders to stay on anybody's eyes. And that is, at least in my opinion, exactly the kind of situation Moses is addressing in Psalm 91. And we discussed some of this 4 years ago. 4 years ago, we had a hurricane that blew apart the Caribbean and then came tearing up through here and just missed a direct hit on us. And right after that, we looked at this same passage and discovered things that to me were actually rather shocking at the time, but it might now help us understand what was going on in the minds of the original hearers of this passage. Imagine hundreds of thousands of people wandering around in the wilderness with no shelter. They didn't have the option of sheltering in place. They had none. Perhaps as many as 3 million people. The barbarians that made up that part of the world. Can you imagine them knowing that all these people had just come out of Egypt with the spoils of Egypt? That news would have traveled fast. And how often they would have tried to attack them. How often every day would have been a potential terror day for the Israelites. And then the wild animals that are in that part of the country and the poisonous snakes. To be invited into the shelter of the Most High probably meant a lot more in real time for them than it does us, or perhaps I should say than it did us up until a month ago. We speculated 4 years ago. We actually researched it. Some of you did the research, and it was a little shocking to me. This section of the desert gets down to the single digits in the wintertime, and this section of the desert goes up to as much as 130 degrees in the summertime. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night were more than just direction finders. The fire probably kept them from freezing in the winter, and the cloud probably kept them covered from the intense heat in the summertime. Now remember, Scripture says the cloud was the Shekinah. It was the Shekinah presence of God himself. When God invited them, that's when this thing would have been written. That's when they would have been reading this thing. When God invited them to rest in the shadow of the Almighty, they had an instant object lesson of just how life-changing resting in the shadow of the Almighty could be. What God meant when he said, come inside of the shadow and rest. And I'm pretty sure that's the picture that we're supposed to be getting here. Imagine those same Israelites when the temperature would go down toward freezing. They were not out looking for desert flowers, checking out the scenery. They would have been huddled as close as possible to the pillar of fire. They would have wanted their family to be in direct contact with the heat of God's presence. That's what's so informative about all of this when we look at the background behind it. As they inch toward the life-sustaining fire that was the presence of God, they knew that it wasn't the firewood that they'd collected throughout the day. There was no firewood. They were in the middle of the desert. When they gathered their family around, or maybe under, I like to kind of think about it like that, and that's probably not the fire of the wilderness. That looks like an explosion. But imagine under, when they gathered their family under the pillar of fire, they were huddling in and around the very Shekinah of God's power and presence. And that's probably really important for us to remember here today. As they cuddled in, as they gathered in to the cloud that protected them, and they gathered in perhaps under the pillar of fire that kept them from freezing in the winter, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And the Bible tells us there were rebellious people who didn't want anything to do with it. They didn't care anything about doing it God's way. Thank you very much. They didn't need the presence of God to shelter their lives. And I'm sure the other Israelites gathered them up and buried them, frozen in the wintertime and scorched in the summer. This, what would become the 91st Psalm, became the divine universal object lesson that all of them could hear and then immediately apply for what it meant to be hidden in God. Hidden in God. Something we need to know today. Hidden in God. Once the Israelites were miraculously delivered from the wilderness by El Elyon, Pastor Kevin talked about that, God Most High, they still had to learn how to conduct their daily lives to be in the shelter of the Almighty. Same thing we have to do, in the shelter of the Almighty. And that promise didn't change for them. That promise doesn't change for us, even after the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire are long gone. We are being forced into a place right now of trusting only in God. Some of us have never quite experienced this place in our lives before. When we have our whole life mapped out, when we have every I dotted and every T crossed in our lives, it's easy to say we're trusting in God, when the reality is our trust is often in ourselves. God is actually far more focused on preparing us for the next life. And man, I like to say this, and we don't like to hear this, but this is the truth. God is more focused on preparing us for the next life than he is in making us ecstatically happy and content every moment of every day in this life. And sometimes he will allow Satan to do uncomfortable things, to allow uncomfortable things through, the fiery darts of Satan. He will allow Satan to come through into our lives with fiery darts to achieve maximum eternal results in our lives. And I've often described faith, the verb part of faith, as us having one foot firmly planted on the ground, used that in the prayer earlier, and one foot up in the air, and we're not quite sure where we're going to plant that second foot. If you have both feet firmly planted on the ground, you don't need faith. We don't exercise faith when we know the next thing that's coming every moment of every day. And so I've often said God, in his mercy, sometimes comes along and kicks out the crutches that we crutch on stuff all day, every day. Things that we depend on rather than depending on God. And sometimes God in his mercy comes along and kicks out the crutch so that we can finally learn to depend only on his loving, gracious, eternal grace. And I would never in my wildest imaginations have ever thought that would include a worldwide pandemic. Never imagined it. Where all of us have the crutches all knocked out at the exact same time. Can't depend on ourselves. But there we are right now. There are some obvious realities here that we need to be picking up as we read what Moses had to say. Here they are. This is my attempt to pack them up. Making the Most High your shelter is not a guarantee that life will not be chaotic around you. Thus the word shelter. We don't need a shelter unless there's something to be sheltered from. My notes are in there. Notice the conditional phrases. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, then the promises come piling in on top of it. Number two, the Almighty giving you rest in his shadow indicates that there may be plenty to rest from. Isn't that the truth? It's true in normal life. It's real, real true now. Number three, God's promise to rescue us from our troubles indicates there will indeed be troubles. This is the reality, starting clear back here with Moses. Number four, God's promise that evil will not conquer us probably means evil is present and may very well conquer those who have not learned to rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's why this is so important, what we're talking about now. And we've never had an opportunity to use this more in our lives than we do right now. Number five, God's promise to rescue us from every trap indicates there will be traps. Satan loves to throw those in our direction. And number six, God's admonition, do not be afraid of the terrors of night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the pestilence indicates the possibility, in fact, the probability that fearful, dreadful pestilence may come. And none of us thought it would happen in our time, and yet here we are, right in the middle of it. So what is the expected application of this psalm? What's it supposed to say to you You're in the middle of something now where you need this psalm desperately. What in the world is this supposed to say to you? Moses would have probably, almost certainly, first have verbally related this to the Israelites, probably over and over again. In fact, I can see probably the family heads coming together, bringing their clans together, and then reciting these words regularly, over and over again. These words would be recited perhaps every single morning. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of... Can you imagine how that would relate to the Israelites? Look at what God is, our God, our God's presence, and our deep desire to be part of who He is and have Him be part of who we are. This I declare about the Lord, they would say. Maybe every day. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. He alone is my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in Him. There is no getting past the declarative nature of this psalm. There's just no getting past it. It was written to be declared by people's mouths. This is something everybody watching this service right now should grab right off the bat. This inspired declaration of faith is supposed to come out from between lips like ours. That's what it was intended to do. There's nothing unfaithful, in fact, to the text to change every sentence into a personal declaration. That's what this is. That's what it's for. That's what God intended it, going back 3,500 years to Moses. Here's 91:1 again. Say it. Say it. Wherever you are, say this. And I'm personalizing these sentences as we go along. If I live in the shelter of the Most High, I will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Say it. Read it. Say it. Two, this I declare about the Lord. You alone are my refuge. You are my place of safety. A lot of your versions will put, rightly put, a two instead of the about. Doesn't do one drop of damage to do that. This I declare to the Lord. That's good theology. Opening your mouth, declaring your faith in the faithfulness of God Most High, God El Elyon. And let me just say this, the same shelter that Moses talked about to them is still your shelter. Same God, same El Elyon, same El Shaddai, same God of all power. He offers you, there's the word, a secret place, a shelter, a covering, a hiding place. That's the word he uses. Come into my shelter. Come into my hiding place. That's how we know that this verse was taking Israel beyond the protection of a pillar of cloud. Each of them were being personally invited into a private, secret, hidden shelter where they could experience the rest of the shadow of the Almighty. And so are you. So are you. This applies just as much to you as it applied to the first person that Moses told it to. The same divine hiding place is still being offered to you. The same powerful God is still just as available to you as he was to them. Number three, all the promises about refuge, all the promises about rescue haven't changed. Evil still doesn't have the upper hand. And angels are still being dispatched to hold us up with their hands. God's promise to you. And number four, the exact conditions, same conditions still apply. If I live in the shelter of the Most High, if I live in the shelter, coming in under his shelter, that's for you. Coming in under his shelter. Living in his shadow. So let's say this one more time. Let's say this one more time. This is your declaration. You need to declare this. You need to declare this to God. He hears you. He wants your faith to grab him like it's never grabbed him before. This I declare to the Lord. Can you say that? This I declare to the Lord. You alone are my refuge. You are my place of safety. You are my God, and I trust in you. You will rescue me from every trap. You will protect me from deadly disease. You will cover me with your feathers. You will shelter me with your wings. Your faithful promises are my armor and protection. Can we pray? Let's talk to God about this. Whatever your fears are, however desperate you may feel about life right now, let's give it to God. Oh, God, I'm praying on behalf of all these people who are watching right now. And it's one thing to say these words. It's another thing when we wake up in the morning or we listen to the next news report for us to believe that's our truth. Fear comes cascading in. Uncertainty, a lack of faith comes cascading in. And if we're not careful, it will rule us. It will command our emotions. But, oh God, that's not the picture you've given us. These Israelites wandering around in the wilderness with all of the stuff that they were facing, and you're saying, come on in. Come on into the shelter of the Almighty. Come into the shelter. Rest in my shadow. And for these people who are, and me, who are listening to this sermon today, God, I pray that they were like never before, would be this God-given, heaven-provided, supernatural peace that passes all understanding, that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We just literally snuggle into the shadow of the Almighty, and we allow your great grace to just pour in our direction. Pour in our direction. May it be in every single person's life today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
My soul, it is. so well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the fish shall be sigh, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Words written by a man on his lanai sipping lemonade. No. Horatio Spafford, a successful lawyer, businessman in Chicago, wife, five kids. And then his young son died of pneumonia in 1871. And that same year, the Chicago Fire wiped out his business. God, in his mercy, allowed Horatio, Anna, and their four girls to live through the fire and recoup. And then on November 21st, 1873, his wife and his four daughters left the United States to go to Europe. Spafford was going to go with them, but couldn't at the last minute because of a business problem. So he told his wife he would join her, sent them on. 4 days into the trip, that ship hit the iron-hulled Scottish ship, the Loch Earn, and within 12 minutes sank under the ocean. All four of Spafford's daughters died. In fact, a sailor rowing a small boat over the spot where the ship went down spotted a woman floating in the wreckage, and it was Anna. She was still alive. 9 days later, she got to Wales. She sent her husband a telegraph: saved alone, what shall I do? And Spafford immediately booked a ship and headed for Europe. 4 days out, the captain, who understood the situation, told Spafford that they were headed over the same area where his four daughters had just died. And Spafford pulled out a paper and began to write. What should have been a horror turned into words that have filled our mouths and our ears for generations. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, God, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I don't know what's going to come out of all this. I don't know where we'll all be a month from now, 2 months, but I do know this. That's the testimony God wants from your heart. Whatever happens, whatever happens, it's well. It's well with my soul. Father, you know us all so well. And you know right now that there are those who are struggling so much. So we're praying. I'm praying right now for the people of this church body, that there will be, rising out of the middle of this chaos, a solid core of steel in our spiritual lives that just never, ever changes, never gives up, that this will set the course for the rest of our lives, that we'll be stronger than we ever imagined we ever would become. You used Spafford after that. He hung the telegraph in his office and pointed everybody to it, not to show how you'd failed him, but to show how you had never left him, even in the midst of great trauma. And God, we're going to have the same attitude when we get through this, and we will. We're going to look on you and say, our God kept his promise. I snuggled in under the shadow of the Almighty, and he never left me. He never forsook me, not for a single moment. May that be the cry of every single one of us as we make our way through this Passion Week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the message today. God's design and desire in this is to draw us nearer to him. Let's join our pastors now for some more insights into today's message. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Ian Croshaw, Pastor of Congregational Care, Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries.
I've been a singer all my life, and the song It Is Well With My Soul has been one of my favorites too, but this psalm that we've been discussing, Psalm 91, particularly the first verse, if I live in the shelter of the Most High, I will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. When I think of that, I'm often thinking of another song that really hits me, and it is a song called Jesus, I Am Resting, Resting in the Joy of What Thou Art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon thee, and thy beauty fills my soul. These are words of confidence that God gives to us in times of trial and frustration, and particularly at this time. And I'm thankful to God that I can rest in him in my daily life, and I pray that you too find that rest.
I continue to be impressed by the fact that Psalm 91 was written in the context of a relationship between God and his people. God had called Israel out and made them different than everyone else. Everybody else in the world was trusting in something other than God, but God called his people and said, trust only in me. I'm the place where all of this is found. And it should be noted that the people were warm and protected at night because they were under or near the pillar of fire. They were shaded and comforted because they were under the pillar of the cloud. And they were provided each day with food. God did this so that they would learn that drawing close to him and walking intimately with him was the only and primary way where they would find the things that they needed. And beloved, this crisis should do the same with us. It should teach us that the things that we trust in normally are insufficient. God is calling us to draw near to him and walk intimately with him so that we can see this same kind of protection and rest in him.
I want to build further upon what both these gentlemen said, but also what Pastor Sam said in his message, that God is taking what appears to be a containment to spread the gospel further than ever before. That's so imperative that we understand this, that God is actually using all of this, you know, quote-unquote insanity for his glory, for our good, for our joy, for his purposes. And only those that have spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear can even fathom that sort of a thing, that God is going to take what the enemy meant for evil and use it for his purposes. The spreading of the gospel has been incredible during this time. The plans of God are not thwarted. Satan has overplayed his hand. And as it says in Psalm 91, we get to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I'm thinking about this wonderful church that I belong to, that we belong to, Grace Emmanuel Church. I'm thinking about our church family, how much we're all missing each other because we were all created for relationship. relationship with the Lord and the relationship with others. And only when we are in that sort of relationship, loving God with everything we have and serving God with everything we have, and then loving and serving others in the name of Jesus, only then do we find true and total fulfillment. So in regards to this, Satan does not get his way. He doesn't get the final say. He doesn't win the day. God does. This too shall pass. Coronavirus will pass. Let's not give the enemy a foothold during this time. Instead, let's find our rest in the shadow of the Almighty.
Let me remind you of one phrase here that was in the sermon. We're being forced into a place of trusting only in God. Most of us have never quite experienced that before. I've been living more than 60 years. I've been pastoring more than 40. And I and others have often said, I'm trusting only in God, when in fact we were trusting in a whole bunch of other stuff. And God has graciously put us in a place where we really, really have to trust Him. So let's do. Father, we are trusting You. And I know we say that all the time. But we really mean it now. We don't have anything else to trust in. So our trust is in You. You will not fail us. You will never leave us or forsake us. Not now, not tomorrow, not next year. You are our God. And as the psalm says, and we trust You. That's a cry from our heart. We trust You. In Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen.
Thank you so much for investing your time today. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in Northport, St. Lucie, just about a quarter mile west off of US 1. If you have a need or questions about something you heard today, please text us at 772-205-6552. You can also go online to graceemmanuel.com. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May our great and trustworthy God bring you peace this week as you rest between His shoulders. Please visit with us soon.